Join me in John chapter 6, as I want to address the latter portion of the chapter, which is a follow-up, a continuation of last week's discussion sermon. I will begin reading at verse 53 as just a reminder of that portion, and then moving into the latter portion of the chapter. John 6, 53. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, This is hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. And he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, the one of the 12, would later betray him. I pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word and our understanding. I'd like to go back and read to you again verses 61 and following. Aware the disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. From this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed. I ask you, just as I've asked myself, will you also turn away? Will you also turn your back and no longer follow? Jesus asked, Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before, meaning returning to his throne at the right hand of the Father? I ask you, myself, as we discussed last week, this teaching of eating the flesh and drinking the blood, the depth of belief, the depth of faith that our Lord Jesus is calling us to, does this offend? Will you turn your back on this? And Jesus asked, What if you see the Son of Man ascending into heaven? Can you accept the ascension? If you have not accepted these words, what happens? What will happen that day when you see me ascending? Will you be able to handle that? Why? Why did so many turn away? Why did the crowds that followed Jesus get so small? Up until this point, it's better portrayed in the book of Matthew as they are building up into that point of turning, but his outward ministry, the people are coming and coming, 3,000, 5,000, 8,000. I mean, the numbers are just huge. Until he gets here. Why did so many turn away? Why could they not accept the truthful yet very challenging words of true discipleship? Why did they turn away? The answer is simple. It is, was, I can say is, because they were living in the flesh. They were listening to Jesus and trying to rationalize what he said given their own limited human reasoning ability. Jesus said in verse 63, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. Meaning, as we are living by the Spirit, we were living in step with the Spirit, we are living according to the Spirit's teaching, then we gain life. But that moment we began thinking in our own flesh, thinking in our own way, trying to use what Jesus has taught us and getting it wrapped around what I think I know, Jesus says that counts for nothing. They were interpreting Jesus' teaching using their own earthly wisdom rather than submitting to the Holy Spirit. We do this on so many occasions. When we hear the Word of God preached or taught, or we're in conversation about some God thing, and we say, well, this is the way I look at it. This is the way I see it. Well, we've immediately entered into that living in the flesh category. Because we've begun to take that word and put it through our thinking and run it through our filters and run it through our life experiences and interpreted it based on the way I understand it, and it says, well, this is the way I see it. How many of you have been in a Bible study and the facilitator or maybe someone would ask you, what do you think it says? Well, not to put too blunt a point on it, we're not concerned with what you think it says. What does it say? Now, there is the idea and the fact that we take that in and we internalize it and we apply it given our applications. But the interpretation, the word, is given by the Spirit. And that Spirit, through the word, gives life. These on that day were not willing to let go of their personal ideas and interpretations. Jesus said, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. So how do we do this? How do we move ourselves, or how do we move from this life expectancy, this life-living interpretation, into living in the Spirit, living by the Spirit's teaching? How do we gain hold? How do we reduce our living in the flesh and increase our walking in the ways of the Spirit? Jesus addressed this many times. He said, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it produces many seeds. He also said, anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Also, he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and follow me. Take up his cross and follow me. The way of Jesus Christ and leaving behind the fleshly thinking is the way of death. It is the way of death. It is dying to selfish self and living to Spirit-filled ways. The way of Jesus Christ is the way of the cross. That's not a popular message today, because most in a church setting or in a group setting, they want the philosophical enlightening, the emotionally driven, the thing that will make me feel better when I leave that door. And those are good. But are they real food? Those who heard Jesus that day were not willing to put their self-motivated impressions and interpretations aside and dig in to what he was saying to them. And they turned away. I ask again, will we turn away? Have we put our ways on the cross, as it were? Have we died to our worldly ways of thinking? Have we died to our fleshly ways of thinking? Have we also turned our back and not followed? I'll grant you, this is a tough road. You know the teaching. The way of the righteous is a narrow path. The way of the ungodly is a broad road. The way of the righteous is a narrow way. Being a true believer involves the way of the cross. It involves dying to self. It involves living by the Spirit in Jesus Christ. A few things to bring this more clearly. Being a true believer means remaining true to Jesus when he and his words are dismissed by others. Being a true believer means following him loyally when his teachings seem to contradict our perceived realities. Being loyal when it seems to contradict my rational thinking. Being a true believer means being true when the crowds turn away and you find yourself alone, or at least a part of a small crowd. You remember we're called a remnant. Do you know what a remnant is? It's a smaller piece of the whole. It's a smaller piece of the whole. It's not a large thing. Christianity many times may mean being alone. Being a believer means maintaining a loyalty to Jesus when the closest to us, who we thought were truthful, turn away and betray. Here's one of the 12 that we are now getting insight to. We know the story of Judas well. Here's one of the 12 who will not only turn away, but betray. Some of you seated here today have had people that are very, very close to you deny the teaching, turn away, mislead, abuse, etc. The way of the cross means we must deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow. Following him through the challenges. Following him through the challenges and through the pain. And this was a hard one. Following him when he does not shield us from the pain. Do we remain loyal? Following when much of the time we feel like we're walking alone. Again, in this passage, Jesus was probably addressing hundreds. But yet in the end, he's addressing 12, which will soon be reduced to 11. I ask, will you also turn away? What caused such a negative reaction? Jesus says, does this offend you? Now, if this were a little bit closer to the Greek, we might say, does this cause you to sin? The NIV probably could have done a little better job here than using the word offend. We might ask or put into Jesus' mouth here, does this cause you to sin? Meaning, does this teaching cause you to reject me because it's hard? Does the difficulty of the teaching cause one to fall away? Does the difficulty of it just not fit our rationally thinking minds and it causes me to, this can't be true? They found the teaching hard. But in reality, it was not the teaching that was hard. It was their hearts. Their hearts were already hardened to the ways of Jesus Christ. So when I ask if you turned away, has your heart been hardened to the ways of Jesus Christ? Are you teachable? Are you teachable? Even at your age. Quite a bit of gray hair out here. And many of the older age, they become hard to teach. Or our hearts hardened to the ways of God because it's difficult. Jesus said, "The words I have spoken to you are the Spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." If Jesus were here today, speaking to you in the way he spoke to those that day, would this be addressed to you? The words I have spoken to you are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. As I said last week, this is no easy believism. The disciples said, and they were right on, it's hard teaching. And there are many who cannot accept it. So I ask again, have you turned away? Have you hardened your heart? Are you one of the ones, this is the way I see it, and live according to your own rules? Yes, this is tough, but this is true discipleship. Feasting upon the blood, feasting upon the body, feasting upon the in-depth teaching. The challenges of discipleship. Jesus asked the 12, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Simon Peter, most of his answers are brash and challenging. But here he makes the ultimate confession. I pray it's the same confession each of us have made or will make. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the great confession that we find in Matthew chapter 16. There it's recorded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "On that I will build my church." On that confession, on that profession, I will build my church. Here, Jesus is asking, "Do you want to leave too?" Peter says, "Where will we go?" Thankfully, the Spirit had worked in Peter now, and he understood. He'll have his challenges yet to come. But the Spirit moved in him to such a degree that he recognized that the one standing before him was indeed the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was and is the Holy One sent from God. Have you made that profession? Have you made that profession? Or will you turn away?